we are 3 weeks in on a new series here. It's just simply called the Worship Series. And just a thought God put in my heart, a little challenge. Instead of songs that are written after sermon series, let's have a sermon series written after songs. And so I've gone to the worship team, and they've given me a bunch of ammunition of songs that are deep and impactful and messages that mean something to them. And so each week we have a guest musician that we get to hear a song, do some music. My calluses are finally starting to come back on my fingers, so I'm enjoying this series myself. And then we get to have a message based upon a message of the heart from a song, from scriptures, but from the heart of a worshiper. And it's a chance for you guys to get to know some of our team members. So would you welcome to the stage Hannah Huff.
Tried to give her a little bit of time to catch a breath because she's breathing for two. Which would be my first question, you know. So how is, how far you got left?
Got 3 months left.
Three months left. Okay, yep. Pray for her and pray for Will.
Yep. We're finding out that the baby's pretty active. It's like a little drummer in there.
Ah, so. I was going to ask, you know, do you think the little one will be musical of any sort?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
And maybe a drummer. As long as he's not hitting that bass drum of the bladder. You
yes.
know, it's just, you know. Sorry, that was a bad picture. What has been maybe the best part or the most surprising part of being, you know, a mommy carrying a baby?
Well, the most surprising part was just being pregnant in general.
Okay. All right.
We were not planning on being pregnant. So, no, I think it's been really cool. Like, the Lord has just been showing me, like, I know I'm not to that point of the self-sacrifice, but, like, even my body just changing and everything, it's like, wow, I have to really, like, give up a lot for this baby, and I know I will my whole life like my parents did.
Right.
But, yeah, that's been really cool.
Yeah. Good. Good, good. So, music. How'd you get into music? What's music to you?
Yes, I've always loved music, to the point of annoying my brother. He was like, can you just turn it off in the car for like 5 minutes? My mom would make us alternate, like, you can listen to music for this long, and then he can have a quiet moment. I really wanted to be on the worship team, and my friend Grace and I were like 12 years old when we were like, we want to be on the worship team, we want to be a part of it. And Pastor Ken was part of that process where he's like, you guys got to practice and actually know how to play the piano. Yeah. I don't actually know how to play the piano. I just make it up as I go.
Ah.
So the Lord has just worked through me to where I've just basically memorized chords. I'm not even a professional by any means. So,
yep. But there's a motivation behind
it. Yes. It was always like to want to worship the Lord. Yeah. Like it was always that purpose.
Yep. Yep. Whether in your car, whether on stage, whether in your bedroom, you know, there's ways to praise the Lord. So, tell us about this song. What's the song? Who wrote it? And a little bit of what does it mean to you?
Yeah, so the song is called Remembrance, and it's by Hillsong. And it's just, it's really significant to me because when I was about 15, I went through a very, very dark season of my life where I kind of lost my sense of worth. And I told myself I wasn't going to cry, but I'm pregnant, so of course. But the Lord just taught me two things through this song and through that season of life. One, that we really need to remember what God has done for us on the cross always. Like, I always think about that concept of if the Lord did nothing for you except die for you on the cross, would that be enough for you? And yes, it should be infinitely more than enough, even if he did nothing else for us. But sometimes I feel like we get so ungrateful. Like, has the Lord even done anything for me? You know, we just kind of go into this pity party, I guess. But the fact that the Lord saw me in that dark season of life as, in my opinion, kind of an unimportant 15-year-old girl, just kind of in a really lonely, dark place, that he saw worth in me to come and pull me out of that and redeem me from that. It's just, I need to remember that constantly, that he is always finding ways to bring me from the places that I get myself in. And then the other part of remembrance, not just remembering salvation, but remembering the dark places you've been through. For example, like when the Israelites left Egypt, they kind of forgot how bad it was. They look back and they're like, oh my goodness, if we could just go back to that, like that was way better than this. But just remembering that it's okay that you've been through dark things. It's not any, I mean, yes, it can be shameful. But the Lord brings us through that to make us more like him and bring us to salvation, bring us to repentance, and more importantly, bring him glory through that. And you don't have to hide it and be like, oh my goodness, I'm never going to talk about that. I'm never going to share that. But knowing that everybody else has been through dark things, I don't know how you see me, but you might look at me as someone who's probably never been through anything and has everything together, but I don't. I've been through things, and I'm a sinner just like you. I'm humbled to be able to walk in forgiveness, I guess.
So
As far as east is from the west, so far your grace has carried me. Until I see you face to face, until at last I've won my race.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your sacrifice, giving your Son for us. It is all we need and more. And Lord, I thank you for the beautiful testimony that is sitting beside me. And how wonderful that it's a twofold testimony. Lord, for you are raising a child right now in this belly that will one day declare the same message. But God, you have been so, so good to me. And Lord, I thank you that this testimony is in all of us. We don't have to be preachers or singers. Lord, we can just be moms and dads. We can be individuals, sons and daughters. We can be co-workers, employees, bosses. And all it takes is for us to just share our story. Just tell others of what God has done for us. And with that, we say hallelujah. Because it's our job just to live in remembrance of what your Son has done for us. We give praise and glory for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So show some appreciation for Hannah as she has her seats here this morning.
Is everybody sniffing with me here? Oh, hallelujah. Worship is such a powerful tool and a powerful weapon. I think Satan, because he was the worship leader, doesn't like, maybe he can't carry a tune, maybe he lost that gift, I don't know. But worship is such a powerful thing. Turn on your radio, listen to something on your phone, or lift your voices. Because praise is a powerful, powerful thing. Well, let's get into the message here of remembrance. The song that we just sang, as well as just the concept of things we need to remember. But as we dig in, I want to paint a picture here this morning, okay? I'm going to do a little painting. It's not going to be Bob Ross-like, okay? There's not going to be any happy little trees or fluffy little clouds. No, it's going to be a different type of picture, and you will see very shortly of this picture that I'm going to paint. Revelation 21:8. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. In the scripture, we get the who goes? Sinners. Sinners, there is a place reserved for you. What is this place? Where do they go? The fiery lake. I hear it's really nice this time of year. And the sulfur is a little extra stingy in the eyes this type of year. Yeah. What a wonderful place. Let's keep painting. Mark 9:43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. There's a message. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. Unquenchable fires. What does that mean? They don't go out. They will continue to burn and burn and burn. Well, how long, Pastor, will they burn? Great question. Let's keep painting. Matthew 25:46. And they will go away into eternal punishment. But the righteous will go into eternal life. So how long will these fires and the sulfur in the eyes go on? Forever. That's a long time. It's going to go on and on and on. Jude 7. And don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. There's the sin. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. Okay, so we're painting the picture here. Are you beginning to see it? You have sin, and there's a place, eternal fire, reserved for you. And that is God's judgment. He is the one who judges, sits upon his throne. You sin, that's the place for you. Matthew 13:49-50. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked people into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so there's more fire. We have the lake of fire, and apparently there's like a furnace in the middle of the lake of fire. So if it's not hot enough in the lake, you know, there's another place where they crank it up a little bit. Joyous. And what do we do there? We weep and we gnash our teeth. That is the pastimes of this eternal judgment. Joyous. Great picture we're painting here today, right? I just went to the dentist a couple weeks ago. Not one of my favorite things to do. And, you know, it's the, you're going to feel a little poke. Yeah, whatever. That ain't little. That hurts. I know what you're doing. And then your mouth starts to go numb. You still can feel things and smell things and hear things, you know, all that. And all you want to do is just grind your teeth because it hurts. But you can't because you got 16 little utensils in your mouth and that thing going on. Gnashing your teeth. Great pain. That is continuous. Forever and ever and ever. Are you getting the picture? 2 Thessalonians 1:9. They will be punished with eternal destruction. Forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. There's a new detail. God's not there. I want to be in his presence, but there is a place that we're separated from the Lord. Are you getting the picture of this place? I'm sure I could keep going, but I'll just finish with one more. John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. You see, I think that is an important detail in this painting. Something that we should remember, something we shouldn't forget. Remember when you were saved, and from what? Don't forget that. That should be your mind, who you were and who you now are, remembering that day you said yes to Jesus. Remember that day he saved you. Anybody here ever had a near-death experience? I give thanks to a young man. Well, he's a little bit older than me. He was young at the time. Joel Willoughby. Joel, I don't know where you are. I know you came from Canada. Maybe you're back there. I forgive you. Joel, thank you. I think I've shared this once before. I was in a band. Joel was in the band. He was a drummer. And we did some things together. And we had a youth activity up in Hayward. And I think we were at a hotel there in Hayward as a youth group. And we were in the pool. And we were having a good time. We were playing keep away. And there was a big pool, a shallow end and deep end. And everyone was in the shallow end, and they're all fighting over the ball. I'm like, well, I'm going to go to the deep end because there's nobody over there. So they'd throw me the ball, and I'd sit there and tread water and throw it back. Nobody would come and get the ball for me. And at one point, I was out there treading water, and they're all fighting over the ball. And I got that apple size cramp in my leg, and I dropped like a stone to the bottom of the pool. And I remember I let out a little as I went under. And I remember at the bottom trying to move, and I could not. I was in pain. And I look up the 4 feet or whatever above my head, and I came to the conclusion. This is it. I'm dead. And I remember closing my eyes, accepting that thought. And just then I felt a bump to my back, and two arms come underneath mine, and I come to the surface. And they put me near the edge, I put my arms, and I look, and there's Joel just swimming away. He was in the opposite end. For some reason, he saw me go down, and he went straight for me. I probably wouldn't be here today without Joel. I give thanks for that. Hopefully you do too. Do you remember the day you were saved? Do you remember who you were before Christ, before forgiveness? You see, before forgiveness, I believe Abraham was lost and David was an adulterer and Paul, the apostle Paul, was a murderer. 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul says, "Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words." Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, knew he was a sinner and yet God saved him for going around killing Christians. He was saved, and he's an author, and he doesn't even know how to articulate how awesome that is. This gift is too wonderful for words. So we sang the song. Some of the lyrics: as far as the heights reach from the depth, as far as the east is from the west, so far your grace has carried me. As I think of that and I think of God, I tend to recognize that God hasn't just pulled you out of the grave, pulled you out of hell, the fiery lake. No, he's done more than that. He's actually carried you. He's actually lifted you up. What does that mean? Hypothetically speaking, because I know it probably doesn't happen to anyone here. Let's say, for instance, you got pulled over by a cop. I know. Nobody here, that hasn't happened. So just imagine with me. I'm sure you've seen movies or people tell stories. You're speeding, okay? Cop pulls you over. You could probably imagine, because I know you haven't experienced it, probably imagine maybe 3 outcomes. Number 1, he gives you a ticket. He hands you the punishment for your wrongdoing. Number 2, he looks at your track record and realizes this is the 16th time he's pulled you over for speeding. And he pulls you out of the car and puts your hands behind your back, and he arrests you. Or maybe the 3rd way is he bats your eyes, and he gives you a warning. I wouldn't try that, guys. That just you get a ticket, you get arrested, you get a warning. That's what we can imagine in this scenario. Maybe there's some other little ones. But that's kind of a shallow imagination, at least from God's perspective. Because God's got a great imagination. You see, from God's perspective, you get the knock on the window and the officer says, "You've done wrong." And he hands you the ticket. "Here is your punishment for your wrongdoing." And you sit there and you look at it and it begins to hit you. You did wrong. And now you have to pay the penalty. And just as you're coming to that conclusion, the officer reaches back in and he snatches the ticket from you. And he says, "Tell you what, I'll pay for your ticket." Gratitude fills your heart. You've been saved from the punishment. But God has a greater imagination because he does more. The officer says, "Tell you what, you're driving around this bucket of bolts. It's about to fall apart. It's rusty. It's not efficient. And it keeps on speeding. Follow me." And if you follow him, you get in the car and you get to the dealership. And he says, "I'm going to buy you a car. I'm going to buy you a brand new car that's going to be reliable. and good and strong, and it's got a governor on it, so it'll only go 55 miles per hour, and you'll never speed again, or you won't have that desire to speed again. And you're like, what's the catch? What is this? You took my punishment, and now you're giving me things? And he says, I'm not done yet. If you ever break down, if you ever get in the ditch in the winter, you ever hit a deer, you ever run out of gas, because nobody ever does that, call me, and I will be there, and I will pick you up. I'll carry you. You see, that's God's imagination. God's imagination isn't just salvation, Jesus taking the punishment. That's not it. That's a big part. But there's more to it. There's life. There's something beyond just being saved. God wants to give you life, an abundant life. Lyrics of the song. Until I see you face to face, until at last I've won my race, remind me you're not finished yet. And that's when we lost Hannah. Why? Because she was recognizing that where she's at, God is not done yet. Salvation is one thing. God saved you. But in some cases, that may have been the easy part. Because you carry into this relationship stuff. Maybe, for instance, you were abused. Someone wronged you. You didn't deserve it. But someone wronged you. Someone hurt you. And that feeling, that darkness, began to consume you. So you did something like you started to drink. You started doing drugs. You get into addictions. Trying to ease that pain of someone wronging you. You're reaching out for things. Or maybe it just angers you. Every time you're reminded of that time, anger overwhelms you. And anger controls you. And you lash out at people. You swear at people. You yell at people. Maybe you swing at people. Anger controls you. Maybe you started stealing because you have these addictions, trying to cope with whatever it is, this hurt, this emptiness you have. And so you start stealing things. Or maybe you start abusing others because what you learned is abuse. And so now you just lash out and you abuse other people. It's the only world you know. Or maybe you let hate overwhelm you. Hate for that individual. Hate for men. Hate for women. Hate for authorities. Hate for fathers. Whatever it may be, you let hate overwhelm you. And what's going on? Sin has now controlled your life. And you're trying everything and it's not working. And you get to a point that we talked about 3 weeks ago with the song Come As You Are. You're broken. You're broken before God and you go, God, I've tried everything. It's not working. And as we sang last week, faith. In that moment, you have a little glimmer of faith and you say, God, I need you. Save me. And God saves you from that sin. And in that moment, there's a little fire. You're like, this is it. I'm forgiven. God has saved me. That place of hell, that fiery furnace, that fiery lake, it's not for me. God has saved me. And you're excited until you wake up the next morning or the next week and you realize you still have those same thoughts. You still have the anger. You still have the hatred. There's these things in you. Some of you God takes away. Some of you, it just hangs with you. And you look back to Egypt. You keep on are reminded of your own life. Those feelings come flooding back into your mind and that hurt overwhelms you. And that's when God says, I'm not finished with you yet. We've started a good work, salvation, but we got some work to do. As I've asked the worship team members, give me some songs, and I've gone through the songs. After I kind of pick one with a message, I bring it back to them and say, give me the message to you. Give me what it means to you. And, you know, maybe how you feel or what it's done. So I have a quote here from Hannah in this message. She gave a powerful, powerful testimony. I'm just going to read a little portion. But she even said it. You might look at her and think, what a perfect life, right? Great family, great upbringing, has loved the Lord, known Jesus her whole life, happily married, she's pregnant, she's glowing. She's a beautiful singer and worship leader. Wow, perfect life. If only you knew. If only you knew. And so she said this. This God is not finished with me yet. For her, there was a time of wandering, searching, and feeling hopelessly lost. You ever been there? Feeling as if there's nothing left to live for. Has anyone ever been there? Feeling like there's no way out. And here you can tell she's an author. Traveling the trenches of my soul through a wasteland of confusion and anxiety. Does that resonate with you? Wondering if God is really present or if I will ever know what it feels like to be home. Church, you need to hear me today. God saved you. Now he wants to heal you. He wants to make you whole. If you let him. And that's the big if. How? Well, as we sang the song, you need to recognize that God has been so, so, so good to you. Do you have a moment or two in your life where you got unmerited favor in your life? Hang on to that. Deuteronomy 6:12. Be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. This is how we get out of this. We need to remember, remembrance. God saved us, okay? We just got done with a slow-mo series. We're following stories of Moses. God delivers. He brings the nation of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt. And as soon as they get out, as Hannah said, they just wanted to go right back. God has freed you. He saved you. But you keep looking back to your old life. There's parts of your old life you're like, okay, I like all this God stuff, but that was kind of nice, that thing. And maybe it's really not that harmful. We keep looking back to our old life. Do you remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? God said, don't look back. And what did Lot's wife do? She looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. Stop looking back. Stop looking back at your old life with desire. God has something new and something greater for you. But we keep looking back. Okay, Pastor, so what do I do? How do I allow God to heal me? Yes, I've cried out for forgiveness. Yes, I have a day of salvation that I can join the Lord, but I don't feel any different. I don't feel any change. But I hang on to this hurt. I hang on to my past. I hang on to the dark times of my life. Pastor, what do I do? Well, the answer is not easy. And I don't think from the great imagination of God, the great wisdom of God, it's not designed to be easy. You see, the answer of this healing, it's hard. It's a struggle. And God is simply asking, are you willing to put in the work for me to heal you? So there's a scripture that I think has the answers. And you know where scripture came from? It wasn't pastor sitting there doing searches and reminding of scripture. No, Hannah gave me the last two scriptures, the Deuteronomy we just read and this portion we're about to read. Because Hannah, in her hard times, went to two places, probably more. She went to worship, singing, praising, turn it on in the car, even if her little brother said, can we turn it off? Sorry, that's not how Robert sounds. And she also knows to go to the Word and to find scriptures that strengthen her. You got to know that. In your dark times, where do you go? You go to the textbook. You go to the Bible. And you go to praise. You go to worship. She knew where to look. Deuteronomy 8:2. How do we allow God to heal us? Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. And you guys read that and go, okay, that didn't help, Pastor. How does that bring healing? Well, first is that word remember, remembrance. But there's four things in here that God wants, and we can find other scriptures. But there are four principles I think God wants you to go through in order for him to heal you. Number one, you need to remember that he's leading you through the wandering. Remember, God is with you. Some of you, God saved you, and then you messed up again, and you're like, well, that's it. I blew my opportunity. And if you just turned around, you'd realize God is right there. Jesus, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him when he got baptized, it says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness for 40 days. God led them, led him, led the people into the wilderness. We look at wilderness and wandering and go, that's bad. And God says, no. That's where we get to work. That's where we do things. I would rather wander in the desert than be into the fiery furnaces or the lake of fire. Amen? Wander. If I'm wandering, if I don't feel like I know where I'm going, but God is with me, what else do you need? If you feel like you're in dry and desolate places, but you know God is with you, what else do you need? Recognize, remember, God is with you. He's with you. And secondly, he's humbling you. I told you this was going to be hard. Why do you need to be humbled? Because y'all are prideful. We have pride. We have this thought that I can do it. I can do it on my own. I can figure this out. No, God, I don't need your help. I'm a child of God. I can do things on my own. We have this pride issue, and God's like, nope, that don't work. You got to be humbled. You need to be humbled before me. You need to bow your knee daily in my presence saying, God, I need you. God, this feeling I have, this anger I have, this addiction I have, this thing that keeps my past that's haunting me, God, I need you. I can't get rid of it. We need to humble ourselves before God. And that comes from our tongue too. Because sometimes we don't want to tell anyone that we're going through a hard time. We're in a situation where we don't want to ask for prayer because it might look like we're weak or that we need help. And so we keep our mouth shut. And that's pride. That's the glue keeping your lips together, is pride. We are the body of Christ. We rely on our brothers and sisters and we say, will you pray for me? Will you help me? If you have gone through a season of abuse, go talk to Hannah and be encouraged. And there's others here. That's what we are, the body of Christ, here to encourage. God needs to humble you because of your pride. God is also testing your character. Oh, we love that, don't we? Why is God testing your character? Because you are seriously lacking character. All y'all. Your character stinks. God's character is awesome. The character of Christ is where it's at. And so how does God produce good, godly character? He tests you. He tests you. Someone that angers you comes into your presence, and God's like, I wonder how they're going to respond. And you respond real bad. And then we go, God, take them away from me. I don't want to ever see them again. And for some reason, they keep coming back. Why is that? Because God is wise. And he's like, all right, round two. Let's see if we can test your character. Testing is where it's at with the Lord. He's trying to produce fruits of the Spirit. He's trying to produce the character of Christ. We are lacking good character, and God is up in heaven saying, I can fix that. I know exactly how to do that. How? Okay, Pastor, how does God produce good character? That's the end of the scripture. He is looking for obedience, whether or not you will obey his commands. God's up there going, are you going to trust me? Yeah, but that person is there. The person is still at my workplace. They're still in my school. I live with this person. They're at my church. And I'm always angry, upset. It takes me to a dark place. God says, can you trust me? Can you trust me to fill you with the thoughts that you should have, not the thoughts that you keep grabbing at? Do you trust me? Will you obey me? God's also asking, will you run to me? Anytime you have that feeling, that anxiety, that fear, that depression, that hurt, that lashing out, that anger, anytime you have those feelings, will you drop what you're doing and run to me? Because I'm a strong tower and I will protect you. Will you run to me? Well, how do we do that? Will you run to his word? Will you come to church and bow a knee? Will you instantly start to worship? A little side plug if you're into Spotify. We've made, the worship team gave me about 80 songs. And most of them I'd never heard before, and I went through each one of them. And so I made a playlist on Spotify. If you search for Grace Worship Series, you'll see our logo, and there's all the songs. And each week, as we do one, I put it at the top of the list. So the top three songs on there are songs that we've done. But it's the Grace Worship Series. Will you run to God when you're frustrated, when you're angry, when you're hurt? Will you go to a place? And I think sometimes that place can be listening to worship. And then, you know, on Spotify, you can click on the lyrics and you can sing along. You can see what these words are. And maybe they'll have deep meaning to you, or they'll direct you to the word, as it did for Hannah. And ultimately, looking for obedience, God, I think, is looking for us to repent. To simply look back one last time and say, I am never going back to that life. I'm never doing that thing again. I'm never hating that person again. I'm turning to God. I'm going to live a new life that is much greater than I can think of or imagine, because God's got a great imagination. So in conclusion, God has saved you. Remember that. Now let him heal you. He heals us as we give him praise for the salvation, as we remember what he's done, and we do that once a month when it comes to communion. Great time. Do it more often. Remember how God saved you. We also remember that he has been so, so good to us. He's been so good to you. And maybe it's your family and friends that are around you, that encourage you. Hannah has been surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Great mom and dad and grandparents, both sides, brothers, who are mostly good to her. Friends, church, you have that. Remember that. That you're surrounded by people that have walked through what you walked through. You are not alone in this. Some people, as they share what they've been through, sometimes look at me like, are you surprised? And most of the time, I'm not. I've heard this story before. And I know a good ending to this story. Go to someone. Have them encourage you. Pray with them. Rely on the body of Christ. And finally, give up your old life. It stinks. It's rusty. It's falling apart. Give up your old life for a new life. Just like the new life that's in that belly over there. It's new life. And I bet you, going back 5, 6, 7 years, I bet you some thoughts going through Hannah's mind was, I'll probably never be a mother. Because I've been wronged. Because I'm broken. Because I'm worthless. She probably had those thoughts. And here she is today with life growing within her. You need to recognize God wants life to grow within you. Guys, maybe not in your belly, because it doesn't work that way. But in all of us, in our hearts, in our mind, God wants life to be born. And we call that born again. God wants to save you, yes, but He wants you to be born again. He wants you to be excited. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to look ahead and go, ah, this is so good. God's got so much in store for me. And then we share it, and we live an abundant life, and people around us live an abundant life. God wants to save you. God wants to heal you, if you will only let Him. Let's pray. God, we sing about it. We had a message on it. So now we pray about it. Thank you, God, for salvation. We did communion today. Lord, we're checking all the boxes here. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the life you've given us. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. But Lord, today you want to do more. You want to heal some hearts and minds. Lord, there are some here with incredible stories that they may feel they're lost and wandering, feeling like there is no home for them, feel like you're not even close to them. But Lord, I pray they can just stop and look to the right and left and realize you're everywhere. Can't get away from you. You are with us. And it simply requires us to say, Lord, heal me. And the work begins. But Lord, it is worth it to put the work in. It is worth it to recognize you, to humble ourselves, to cry out to you, to run to you. Lord, it is so worth it to allow you to do work in our lives through the wandering and the wilderness. Lord, it is so worth it for us to humble ourselves and to obey you, not to follow our thoughts because they lead to death, but to follow your thoughts. And Lord, I pray for healing to begin today, right now, in this moment, in all these hearts. Lord, I pray for those that have been healed, Lord, that they have just a burden to share and to love, to sing with others, to pray with others, to encourage with scriptures. Lord, because you have a healing in store for everyone. And even for those that have been healed, Lord, you're not finished with us yet. You're going to keep working on us and working on us. Lord, I love that. I love that you are still involved in our lives to make us not a better me, but more like Christ. So thank you, Father, for salvation. And thank you for your healing touch. In Jesus' name we pray.